ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Dragoncast, home of House of the Dragon. Gather your small council, send out your ravens and call in your bannermen. I'm Hand of the King, Jamie East, here to guide you through the insane world of Westeros and beyond. Hello, 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 Dragoncasters. Welcome, welcome to the ninth episode of our Game of Thrones rewatch. Season 3, Episode 9, The Reigns of Castamere. I'm Jamie East, and this is...
Chris Mandel, last of his name.
And we're both suitably attired. We decided to wear...
It's the red hat wedding.
Something borrowed, something red. Yeah.
So, should we explain the red hats?
Yes. What? It was a complete fluke.
So, I was anticipating Jamie would start the podcast and say... How was your weekend? And I was going to say, I had a lovely weekend, went into town, which is what Northerners call central London, yeah. And had a potter around, had a quiet day yesterday, bought a new hat from Uniqlo.
Yeah.
And I was going to just say, I bought a new hat. Came on to record, Jamie has got what I thought was the exact same red hat on. Turns out it's actually a different brand.
See, we've been doing this podcast together for so long, we've started to sync our... Like when girls at college have periods at the same time.
It is like that.
It's exactly like that.
But it's funny because I mean, this is actually not interesting at all for most people. But I was like, Joe, I don't have any bright hats. I just have like black or grey hats. And I thought, I wear so much black and navy, I'm going to get a big, bright, woolly hat.
You know what? A little splash of colour really sets you up for the day. I've got
both got similar taste in primary colours.
I've got lots of like bright hats. I do favour a bubblegum pink.
You have a pink number, yeah. I've seen that.
I've got a nice furry palace cap that I like to wear as well. Yeah, that's pink. Yeah.
I feel good already.
Pink. I do like.
I did
pink.
Say though before we started recording, I thought I was giving Bill Murray Life Aquatic. I now feel like I look like Papa Smurf's sort of bastard son.
Actually, got a blue sweatshirt on as well.
Yeah, the whole look right now is giving Smurf.
Well, it's freezing cold. You know, we're in deep hibernation.
Thermostat is way down, my friend. Saving a fortune. Anyway, how are you? What's going on? What's new?
I'm good. Do you know what I've done? What have I done? I've watched a lot of telly. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of television. You know, sometimes it's like reading books. I've been unable to read a book for probably about 3 years, for whatever reason. I love reading books, and I just can't get into the reading groove, and it drives me crackers. Because I've got so many good books that I love nothing more than like curling up with a good book. And for whatever reason, I just found myself unable to concentrate, unable to get into it. And for a while, I've had the same with telly as well, where it's just like where maybe it's overwhelmed with choice, or... the fear of the FOMO thing of like, oh, I'll start this one, but then see other people talking about that. Oh my God, I don't know which one to watch. But this week, really watched some good stuff, actually. And we're going to record a bonus episode shortly about The Last of Us. We're going to rename the podcast The Last Cast for one day only. I don't think we'll do an ep by ep version of The Last of Us. It feels like we've got quite a lot on already, but it does warrant its own episode, at least one. Now, Chris and I are in fortunate positions. We get sent the screeners. Thank you very much, HBO.
Thank you.
I have wazzed through it. Absolutely wazzed through it. I've got one more episode to watch, and I'm going to watch that tonight.
So is that 9 episodes?
Yeah.
And you've watched 8?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's incredible. You know, we'll talk about it in the bonus episode, but safe to say, I love it.
Yeah.
And I've already kind of teased, like, episode 3, which goes out next week, right, is up there with one of the best pieces of television I've seen. It is incredible, completely unexpected, beautifully written, just heartbreaking. Oh my god, I can't stop. I was annoyed that I watched it so soon because I had no one to talk to.
Well, comparatively, I've still only seen one episode, and there is a sort of beauty behind the madness, which is I'm going to watch it once a week.
Good.
Kind of need something to watch on Mondays.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do it bit by bit. I know it's supposed to be really good. And will we get into our thoughts on the bonus episodes?
Yes.
On episode one? Because that aired last week.
And exciting. We've also got an interview with the guy, the creator of it, Craig Mazin, who is just like a blindingly talented kind of like TV showrunner. Yeah. He created Chernobyl. He does the Screen Notes podcast. He wrote all the Hangover movies and like screen, just is a brilliant screenwriter.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a brilliant screenwriter and he directed a load of these episodes. He created it alongside Neil, who invented the game. Oh, it is. Had a really good chat with him last week. So we'll whack that in as well. It's brilliant.
Great.
It is time. It is the big one. It's the one that everyone... We were always going to have to talk about this episode, I think. There was no way around it. Quite rightly so. It is season 3, episode 9, The Reigns of Castamere. If you need a hugely spoilerific catch-up, here is a recap of what happened in that mental episode from our sister podcast previously on. Rob and Catelyn Stark plan the capture of Casterly Rock from the Lannisters. They need the extra troops Lord Frey could provide after the coming wedding. At the Twins, home of House Frey, the Starks accept bread and salt, a sign of being guests of Lord Frey. The old man offers a sarcastic speech of welcome along with the food, but Rob diplomatically apologises for jilting Lord Frey's daughter, part of their previous agreement. Also heading to the Twins for the wedding are Arya and the Hound. Daenerys is outside the walls of Yunkai and sends the dashing Daario, trusty Sejora and Grey Worm in to capture a gate and let the rest of her army in. By morning, the city is hers. Bran and the others spend the night hiding in an abandoned mill near the wall, while nearby, unbeknownst to Bran, his brother Jon and the wildlings are raiding. Hodor, spooked by the storm, begins to Hodor so loudly that they're in danger of being found. Bran wargs into Hodor, taking over his mind and calming him down. Outside the mill, the wildlings capture an old man. Oral, the wildling suspicious of Jon's loyalties, orders him to execute their captive, but Jon can't. Ygritte kills the man for him, and the others move to slay Jon. Bran wargs into his direwolf and sends it to help. Jon kills Oral, grabs a horse and races away, abandoning Ygritte. In the morning, Bran tells Osha she must take his brother Rickon to the Last Hearth, home of the Karstarks, while Bran and the others go beyond the wall. Walder Frey has employed all his skills as a wedding planner at the Twins. After Dopey Edmure is wed to a surprisingly attractive Frey daughter, a huge feast is held. The Freys and the Starks are seated together as Edmure is ushered away to bed his new bride. Lord Bolton reveals he's just married a Frey himself, and Talisa and Rob choose to name their unborn child Eddard. As the musicians on the balcony begin to play The Reigns of Castamere, the song mentioned by Cersei previously as celebrating a particularly cruel act of Tywin Lannister, Rob's direwolf, Greywind, starts to howl. Arya and the Hound are stopped at the gates of the Twins and refused entry, but Arya sneaks inside anyway. Walder Frey stops the musicians to deliver a speech. He says he's not shown them the hospitality they deserve. Catelyn notices Lord Bolton has put on armour for a wedding feast, slaps him and shouts a warning to Rob. Afrey pulls a knife and stabs Talisa repeatedly in her pregnant belly. The musicians put down their instruments, pull out crossbows and attack. All of the northerners are slaughtered and the Red Wedding has begun. In the castle courtyard, Arya is relieved to see Winterfell men, only to see them immediately killed. Grey Wolf is murdered in his pen, and she tries to enter the hall to reach her mother and brother, but the Hound knocks her out and carries her away from the castle to safety. Rob crawls along the floor for his dying wife's last breath. Catelyn seizes a knife and holds the cowering Lady Frey hostage in exchange for escape. Frey only cackles. He can always get a new wife. Lord Bolton drives a dagger into Rob, saying the Lannisters send their regards. Rob calls for his mother one last time before slumping to the floor, and Catelyn screams as she slits Lady Frey's throat. She then stands motionless and catatonic as Frey does the same to her. Blimey. Chris, why don't you go first? What can you sum up? I mean, how many times have you seen this episode first?
That's good. I was trying to tally that the other day. I think five times. I think four or five times. I think this would probably be the fifth time.
Yeah, I think it's probably about that for me. Plus,
I haven't seen it for a while.
Plus, whenever I want cheering up, I go and watch the reaction videos on YouTube. I love watching YouTube reaction videos. Like,
I think it's amazing. You don't get that for anything now, do you? No one's doing reaction videos on that scale.
I think Marvel still do them. There was my favourite ones. I watched The Reign of Castamere, Reigns of Castamere. I watched the Long Night with the Arya moment. Mm-hmm. And then I watch Endgame, to your left, Cap. And then the Spider-Man No Way Home was the last one, I think, where the big reveal of the
Spider-Man. So
there's something about reaction videos that I find so heartwarming and lovely. Also because you get to see people's living rooms, and I'm amazed. You go and watch the Reigns of Castamere reaction videos. The amount of people that have Stairmasters in their living rooms in America is quite astounding. Loads of them. Anyway,
that's
we
an
digress.
Amazing observation.
We digress.
So, reactions, top line. I mean, I haven't seen it for years. It's just amazing episode of television. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
I think it still made me feel so many of the things I felt the first time I watched it. And the first time I watched it, I hadn't got to this point in the books. So I genuinely didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Me neither.
I lost my shit.
I think I'd heard about it before,
I'd seen something. Yeah,
everyone knew that something was building, in the same way that we know that there's something called Blood and Cheese arriving in House of the Dragon next season. It's gone down. This episode of television has gone down in history. It's in folklore. It elevated not only Game of Thrones into being the must watch, the most water coolery show on television. It kind of changed television as well in terms of quality drama. Raised expectations for what viewers want.
I think it's interesting because it's the best thing to happen to television, I think, in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
It's also one of the worst, because I think what we'll find when we get into season 4 and 5 and 6, Game of Thrones, the TV show, really struggles to know what to do with that captive audience who are expecting the rug to be constantly pulled from under their feet when there's actually not something on this scale in the books, in the source material. And so it's a very difficult thing to walk into. And I think the show gets very good at delivering these like shock moments, but they aren't really built on as solid a foundation as this. This is 3 seasons of television in the making.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about on the recaps, it is all kind of there. If you know where to look. And if we'd have been watching every single episode, we would have seen this coming even more clearly. I mean, last week, as in the previous episode, episode 8, which we didn't cover, there is a large expositional scene where Cersei explains the origins of the Reigns of Castamere, the song.
Right.
And it's really, it's just being baked in that you go, oh yeah, that's the song. And in case anyone isn't up to speed with it, the short version is Tywin Lannister turned on House Rain, which was a sort of like a vassal house, or a, not a vassal house, a subordinate house to the Lannisters. They were kind of sniffing around talking about rebellion, and he wiped them out. And he just completely wiped them out. And he started playing this song to other families in case they thought of revolting. It was like, we will turn on our own people and exterminate them. It's like brutal. And I just love the way that the show has made this, you know, we know, I think definitely watching it this week, you see discord and you see like problems that maybe you didn't see the first time around.
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed the most about watching this. Just, oh my God, like, you know, Roose Bolton was just like, how did I not see that prick for what he was, you know?
Yeah, awful. It was terrifying. You know, he, as soon as, do you know what I didn't pick up on, or what I haven't picked up on until now, where I'd forgotten about, he's not drinking.
Yeah.
See it, that when he covers
put his hand over the wine cup.
Dulls the senses. And I mean, that's, I mean, he is a bit of a weirdo. Like, you know, he's not the most social man. The last person you want to be sat next to at a wedding, I would say.
Yeah.
And yet there's something about that that is quite off-putting. Like, why would you have a problem with that?
We met him. He came on Thronecast, the actor who plays him, whose name obviously escapes
Michael
me.
Someone. He's Irish, isn't he?
Roose Bolton actor. Michael McElhattan. And yeah, he is Irish, yeah. As most actors were. He was a lovely fella, but like, I just felt like it was a bit like when I was a kid and I met Darth Vader at some TV studios once. I knew it wasn't real, but he still scared me, you know? Mm. And we did me and Sue did a photo where we looked under his sleeve to see if there was an armor there. It's like, ooh, it's all a bit weird. As we've always said, the Red Wedding is what? 9 minutes of an hour long episode. There was other stuff happening as well. There's, you know, the Red Wedding was almost like a tag on.
It was. And I remember saying this last week, I was like, oh, there's loads more stuff in there, but actually it's quite Stark focused. There is a Sam and Gilly bit, which, oh my God, like, again, couldn't really care less, frankly, but
all
they do
that
establish
from a book.
You look at them symbols on paper and you learn stuff. It's
bloody
just like,
hell. Go to the foot of our stairs.
This was me when I left Carlisle, when I moved to that London. It's fried in Kentucky and it's chicken.
Have they got the internet there? Wafer thin ham. Have they got wafer thin ham? Yeah.
Always happy to have a bit of wafer thin ham. That scene is also kind of important because they establish, there's two things I want to say about that quickly. They establish how Bran and his guys get through the wall. There's like a sort of, so they have to establish that. Also, shout out to Jaehaerys Targaryen. Sam says, oh, this was the night for, and Jaehaerys visited it and he came up here. That's the guy that is the king at the start of House of the Dragon that like gives the crown to Viserys.
Did we get Danny? We did see.
Danny. They're liberating cities. They're doing stuff. What I would say about that story is when Jorah, Dario, and Grey Worm are fighting, and they're like, the three of them have their backs to each other.
Yeah.
One of them's got a sword. One's got a spear. One's got this curved blade. The choreography of that is amazing. It's so good.
It's
but
really
it also
good
looks like it could be like the Scorpion King too. Do you know what I mean? Like the set is a bit shit. Like.
But that's my problem with a lot of the early Daenerys-y stuff. It is all a bit the mummy. You expect scarab beetles and...
Yeah, I think it is a little tricky.
You know, David Bradley is such a fucking great actor. Oh,
amazing.
Such a good actor. It just looks so... And I don't think it gets enough credit in this episode for being so effortlessly cuntish.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because it could have easily been a bit moustache twiddly pantomime villain, but he just, has that, just this completely ingrained disdain for the Starks. He is, once you've watched it, every time you rewatch it, you just see he's already checked out. He doesn't give a flying fuck about them whatsoever. Yeah. You know, I loved good old George R. R. Martin's naming convention of his daughters was brilliant. It was just like, my God, he never lets up with these.
It's like Walder, Waldra, Waldron, Waldine. Cauldron.
Yeah. Then even Walder can't remember them.
Did he sort of, I glossed over this, but did he sort of say to Lisa, I can tell you're pregnant because your breasts are swollen and you're pregnant. Like the dress will stay on you. Is that what he meant?
Yeah, I think that's what he kind of inferred. He just kind of like, he used his intuition to guess that she was with child.
Walder being able to sniff out women's fertility like he's some sort of airport dog trained to find marijuana.
Mushrooms, oh my God.
It's like, you're in your second trimester. You're craving chocolate.
Yeah, I do not want him examining my musk. Thank you very much.
So one thing that they do at the start of the episode that is interesting, and they don't really explain it, I don't think, is they have bread and salt when they go and visit.
Which is a traditional Russian in
is it
present day. Bread and salt is a traditional Russian greeting when you break the bread.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, it's a thing called guest right in the Westeros custom, where if you welcome someone into your home, you give them bread and salt. It's safe passage. They're not going to be harmed. And it's what all of these families, like, you know, even when Catelyn took Tyrion to her sister, there would be something like that, I imagine, where it's like an understanding that she's not just going to go and kill Tyrion in his sleep. It's like discourse or whatever. And the violating the guest right is considered like an abomination. It's like what the phrase do is they welcome them in, they give them the bread and the salt, they lower their guard and they kill them. That is like, you just don't do that.
Betrayal.
And it's really, really, and they don't really explain it, but I thought that was such an amazing detail that, like, okay, they've done that. It's a sort of civil, even if it's hostile, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, they're safe. But the whole castle, I mean, we've talked about this before, I think, but it's, you know, they've got like no nice tapestries on the wall. They've got no art. They've got no gold. It's all quite threadbare. Like, they're quite a poor house. In terms of, like, they haven't got fancy things, but they've amassed
their power.
Well.
Their power is that they just own the passage over the river.
They built a crossing and then built a toll booth. Like, they're very, like, shrewd. And I love, Dave Bradley. There's a sort of sourness to him. He's so petty. You get the impression he's only doing it because it's like, it's obviously helping him align with the Lannisters, but it's sort of just like, yeah, sure, why not? I'm bored. Like, sure.
Fuck it.
I'm insulted. I'm a bit aggrieved, but like, what they do to the Starks and just completely almost wipe them out is just like.
And he said, as he said, the wine will flow red, the music will play loud, and we'll put this mess behind us. Which, there was no lies spoken there.
Absolutely. It's
just wasn't what wasn't what they planned. Yeah. So then we have the little side mission from the Hound and Arya. Arya gets within a hair's breadth of getting, and the sliding doors moments in this episode are one of my favorite, most heartbreaking moments in Game of Thrones. Just like we had two here. We had Arya kind of like standing there looking wistfully over at River Run, like barely what, a mile from her mum. And then we also had Bran and Rickon in the windmill or a tower. A windmill, isn't it? The windmill or the tower, with John outside. And oh man, again, just one of those. It's like, oh my God, John's right there. It's like Bran, you warged right there. You were there. How did you not? But he kind of came back and said, "Oh, I saw John." It's just like, now you tell us. Why don't you do something then? But he rode off. I love all those kind of like within just within reach,
so close
moments.
That's what's really good. I mean, when the show is at its hardest, it's when everyone is completely separate, and where it gets really satisfying are these moments where people do sort of almost dovetail. And I loved the way that Bran saved John, but he, at this point, I don't think he quite understands. I think he saw a direwolf and was like, those aren't very common around here. Yeah, you know, there aren't really any left. So, but I think also the direwolves in the show are just look like wolves, whereas in the idea of them is that they're like sort of the size of like a donkey. Like they're kind of,
yeah, they're huge, absolutely massive.
So I think, you know, I think in the episode we just watched, it's sort of like, oh, wolf came and attacked them, thank fuck. And obviously Oral, who is the guy that Mackenzie Crook plays, he can walk into that bird.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
John.
Right. Which then attacked John. And when it's kind of as he was dying, the bird sort of went haywire. And I think if you die while you're warging, you get stuck in the animal. There's a sort of theory about that. That's what a lot of people think is going to happen with Jon Snow dying.
The wind changes when you pull a face. It's the same principle.
It's
same
all principle. Well and good getting in the head of that donkey, but if you die while you get hit by a bus while you do that, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
I loved it, though. I thought it was so interesting. You know, the Arya bits where she was asking the hounds not to kill the man that they rob. She's still really trying to hold on to, like, a kind of moral conduct. Like, being we don't good. Have to be savages. Yeah. We don't have to be... You know, the Starks are all like that. Jon is trying not to kill any more people than he has to, even though it means he's, like, the shittest double agent in the world. You know, because that's what you would just do it. You would just kill the guy.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh, I can't believe the guy that refused to do things for us is not on our team.
Yeah.
It's great for that episode. That episode has this amazing feeling of the Starks trying to hold on to what it is that makes them noble. And most of them don't come out of it very well, do they?
Do not go anywhere. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think we need to give a big round of applause and a shout out to Tobias Menzies as well, who is such a great actor. And it's like he's been in tons of things. Mm. But truly, as Edmure Tully, he's a pretty strong scene stealer, isn't he?
He
plays a doofus really, really well. Wasn't he in The Crown? Didn't he play someone
he was
big
Philip,
in The
Crown? Yeah.
He was Prince Philip, wasn't he? He's been in The Crown. He's been
older
in...
Older version of Matt Smith.
Rome, Matt Smith, he's been in Casino Royale, The Night Manager. He's a fucking great character actor.
He is. He gets some good roles. He gets really good... Really good roles.
But he is just... Oh, man. His expressions are just brilliant. There was the episode... Did we cover this with the... I don't think we did. I think I maybe just watched it with the... with Catelyn's dad.
With their dad, yeah, at the funeral.
The funeral with the arrow. Oh, just fucking beautiful, beautifully performed. And again, in this one...
sort of soft, isn't he?
Like and in this one as well, when he's kind of like trying to look over the shoulder of the guy to see what his wife looks like, and you kind of just feel so... Oh, I give it. At least he's got a looker. But he's just so daft. He just, he's like, all right, I'll play along with this. The bedding ceremony, which is pretty, I'm going to say.
Awful. We need to prove that they sleep together. So
fast. Well, they send for the bed sheets, don't they, I think. Yeah, I think, but actually felt like this probably happened in the 70s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel like... I was like, I'm sure this is probably, you know... Probably not well, the joke, isn't it? It's the wedding night. The wedding night gags continue to this day, you know?
Yeah, I know. People don't actually have sex on their wedding night, do they? They must be knackered.
Exactly. It's a long day.
I'm like, come on. It's a long day. Like, I don't believe... I don't think people do have sex on their wedding night.
No. No.
But yeah, the thing about it that I love is that, like... The Starks are sort of like at the wedding, and the people who the wedding is about, like Edmure and his new wife, they're sort of these accessories to all of this. Like, they're not involved. Yeah. He's not harmed. In fact, Edmure does, he's in the final episode of Game of Thrones. Remember, he just floats around for a bit.
I
love that it's unostensibly like some people just want to get married, have kids, have a bit of land, and have a nice life, even if they're not like their in-laws. And I love that all of that is happening. And then there's this massive political backstabbing, like, behind the scenes. The kind of whole time I thought that Rob's wife, it was going to be that they were just going to kill her and then make Rob marry, like, a Frey.
Oh, did you? Is that what you thought? Okay.
Yeah, because I just thought the focus on her is just so much greater than I expected. And we won't cover it today, but the way they... He marries someone else in the books. They made a new character up, basically. Yeah. And it's too complicated to get into, but his wife doesn't go to the wedding. And so there's all these theories about maybe she's secretly pregnant and she has Rob's baby and he's going to grow up and everything. But yes, I didn't really know what was going on.
Is that theory still bubbling around?
I think it's sort of run out of steam because it just doesn't... a lot of time would have to pass for that baby to do anything significant.
Maybe that's what George is waiting for.
Yes. 18-year jump.
Yeah.
I thought they were here to just get ritually humiliated and then they would go off and next episode they'd go and invade Casterly Rock. And I just, it's amazing when you watch it back, you're like, of course they're never going to go. We never actually see Casterly Rock Game of Thrones. We never go there. You think, oh, I just thought they were going to invade it. I thought they were going to win. I thought it was and it just, you know, it's just not, that's just not the story. And it's amazing how after watching Ned get beheaded, you still find yourself going, Rob's going to avenge him because that's what happens in these kind of stories. And it just doesn't.
It's still, I mean, and then now we're into the meat and potatoes of it all. The violence of it is still pretty breathtaking. The stabbing of...
Talisa
is just still kind of like, holy shit, someone wrote that. Yeah. Someone went and he grabs the knife and stabs her repeatedly and forcefully into her pregnant belly.
I couldn't believe how visceral it was.
Yeah.
And the noise and it's a lot.
Rob Stark gets away with a pretty average Game of Thrones death.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of arrows to the chest and neck and stomach,
of arrows,
right?
And then finally then he just gets finally stabbed, doesn't he, by... Who stabs it? It was Roose, isn't it?
Roose
Bolton. Yeah.
The Lannisters send their regards.
Yeah. Michelle Farley's acting in those final moments were just, I think, what makes it feel so visceral and so painful, because you really felt... like she was a mother who just watched her son die, you know, and knew that she was dead and her husband is dead. She thinks Brennan Rickon are dead. The wail of despair at the end is just crazy.
She feels like it might be her fault because she let Jaime Lannister go, which meant they didn't have any like any power. Political yep. power. They didn't have a bargaining chip, and it just comes crashing down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And really well, again, something that Game of Thrones does well is picking, I guess, what they could have done as a big dramatic crescendo. They instead choose silence.
Oh, I thought that was great.
And they do that. They do that a fair few times throughout the seasons. And you know, Catelyn's throat being cut to silence and going to end credits in silence were really well made. I think really well done.
Yeah. Even when she collapses, there's about 4 seconds where you can just hear the blood gushing, and yeah. you're like, okay, this is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
You know, they do a lot with very little. Even now you know it's coming. When the doors are shut, she goes, "Oh, someone's closing the door. That's weird."
Yeah.
Her uncle Brendan.
Oh, Roose isn't having any alcohol. Oh, Roose isn't drinking. That's weird. And yeah,
Uncle Brendan's gone for a wee against a tree and hasn't come back. Now that is kind of coincidence, frankly. Yeah. He's not in on it. He literally just went for a wee.
And he was now, and got slaughtered outside, right?
No, he's alive. He's alive.
Oh, he is alive, isn't he? I thought he was one of the party that were around the table when Arya and the Hound are.
No, because he I think is in it. I think he's still in it at the end.
How does he get away with it then? Is it because he's now married into the? Because he's now unionized with the Freys. He kind of is exempt from.
I can't remember how he gets out of it. I think he sort of. Jaime has to go. It might not be till season 6. He has to go. There's a siege, and I think the Blackfish is.
Yeah. Oh, that's
involved.
Right. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
not letting. Yeah. I can't remember.
But how did he escape the Red Wedding? Is it because he's the father?
He went out for a wee. He literally went out for a wee, and then.
Well, yeah, but they'd just kill him when he came back. Surely, did he just manage to?
Well, I don't think he came back. I think he maybe saw what was going on and.
Fucked off. He was like, Christ.
I think he's known for being a bit slippery, and in that he's always able to outmaneuver. His way out of things, the reason I mentioned him is all these little layers, and when those doors shut and they start playing the Reigns of Castamere again, like to your point, it could be like a big song, but it's sorrowful. Those strings, it's like really really arresting. And she realizes then, she's like, hang on, the only people still in the room are like the loyalists from my family and our vassal and our sort of our supporters.
Yeah, yeah.
And Roose is wearing chainmail and we're fucked. It's just amazing. It really hits you.
It cuts deep because you watch it and you're just like, what the fuck can happen now? This is just nuts.
Yeah.
What is going to happen now? The first time we watched it, it's like you could not even fathom. Your brain couldn't process what had happened because so much happened in such a short space of time, and it was so brutal, and it was just like, it was like all your intrusive thoughts being played out on television. Do you know? It was that kind of thing. I wonder what happened if that pregnant woman got stabbed in the belly. I wonder what would happen if Michelle Farley, if Catelyn had a throat cut and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, oh my God, it's all happened. Where does that, and Arya kind of getting dragged away. Oh my God, it was just like, it was crazy.
The bit where they shoot the wolf is amazing as well. Just sort of, Arya is nearby. And I think I've read into it that I feel like she saw the direwolf. She saw the direwolf. The direwolf sees her. There's this, you know, and then the dog is literally surrounded and shot in the head, and it's just like, brutal.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny because you sort of look at the pieces left on the board, and you're like, who's the lead character now? Who's this about? I mean, Rob wasn't necessarily the lead, but that was the sort of driving force of like the good guys. And I remember watching season 4 and 5 and thinking, it does feel a little lacking in some kind of force, some kind of focus. And I'm sure we'll get into that, or maybe it won't be
the case. Well, it just kind of starts the slow build towards R and L equals J, doesn't it? After that. That's literally where it's heading. It starts to then become more about, I guess, the threat from beyond the wall and the prophecy a little bit more, I think, maybe. Mm. Winter, you know, we hear a lot more winter is coming after the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
None of this matters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting how long we have of, like, it's like another season before Arya even goes to train as an assassin. It's like, yeah, another, you know, there's a lot more to happen. And I kind of forget, obviously we know Joffrey's going to get killed at his wedding, yeah, in the start of season 4. But I'm kind of like, what happens for the next, like...
Well, I mean, I couldn't even remember... It had a after the Red Wedding, there was never going to be a great episode 10, or at least, you know, it's going to be very difficult to kind of to build up to that. It ends really weakly, I think. It's the mother, it's the Mysa kind
she
of thing.
She gets with, carried she's in being carried, by all the children.
Like as if she's a Matty Healy to 1975 concert. Yeah. I think, what else did we see in that final episode? We have ravens being sent to talk about the northern threat. Sam giving people dragon glass.
There's some good stuff with Tywin and Cersei and Joffrey and Tyrion about the Red Wedding, where Tywin defends it and says, why is it more noble to kill 1,000 people on the battlefield than 30 over dinner?
Yeah.
And you think, but I guess that go into war... Yeah. Go into battle, at least know what they've signed up for, which you can't say the same for the Starks.
Does Gendry leg it? Is it? I think this is the episode that Gendry sails off in his boat.
So if we've had the thing where Miss Melisandre leeches him and then burns the leeches, and she burns one for Robb Stark, one for Joffrey, and one for Balon Greyjoy, who is Theon Yara's father. That must have been in the last episode.
Yeah, and because in this one she plans to sacrifice him.
Right.
And Davos helps him escape.
Yeah. So, you know, Rob dies, Joffrey dies, Balon dies. Maybe she's onto something. Maybe she knows what she's doing.
So, listeners, we are now almost at a halfway point. Season 4.
Crazy.
The choice is, as ever, with you. We will do what we did last time, put them all up to like, and then one of the three with the most likes will get a rewatch. We've got Two Swords, The Lion and the Rose, Breaker of Chains, Oathkeeper, First of His Name, The Laws of Gods and Men, Mockingbird, The Mountain and the Viper, The Watchers on the Wall, and The Children. The Lion and the Rose is Joffrey's death, if I remember rightly. Mountain the Viper is obviously Mountain the Viper.
Amazing episode.
Don't want to sway you at all. But there's episodes we'd rather not cover, if it's all right with you. In fact, which is that one? Should we just leave that one out?
Which one?
Don't we have?
Oh, where Jaime rapes Cersei.
Aren't they problematic? That's Breaker of Chains, I think, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's after Joffrey's death. It's when he's lying in state.
I think
we could probably do
that. Number three is not a great one.
Yeah, so
we'll
leave it in, but you know,
I'm happy to see whatever people. I think this season, I think we talked about this last week, there's actually a lot of really good episodes. We've got the Mountain the Viper, Joffrey's death. I think episode 10 is really good because that's Brienne and the Hound. I actually think the premiere is pretty good. It's not like loads going on, but I think it's quite an interesting episode. Episode 7, where Lysa gets pushed out the moon door by Littlefinger. That's a really good one.
And we got the creepiest. We got Little Bitty.
Oh, yes. Who, again, like, grows up to be, like, you know, a tit-sucking 15-year-old by the end of the show. So, you know.
Don't knock it. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what people vote for.
Yeah.
I think season 3's been good. I think we've seen the best and the worst of season 3. I think last week we found that there was a real lack of direction and a real oversaturation of, like, storylines. I think looking at season 4, I think there's actually some really, really brilliant things happening, and I'm quite excited.
Yeah.
But I think, again, like, high highs and low lows. I think the episodes where nothing's happening are probably quite vast as well.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, I'll put those up on the Dragoncast Twitter account, at Dragoncast_pod. Put those up later on in the week. Go in there, just like your three favourite episodes, the ones that you want to hear as rewatch. It's Laura Jobbins. Got in touch. Thank you, Laura. Said, just a quick email to say, huge thanks for the awesome show. I've been listening from the start and watching from Jamie's days on Thronecast. Love the show and have spread the word far and wide. Knowing that I have a fresh episode to listen to gets me out of bed as great company on my early run. That's what we like. For Chris, message for Chris, tincture is also one of my absolute favourite words, and I share your pain with a 3rd January birthday. It's rubbish.
Oh, amazing. There someone has the same birthday as me.
And yeah, and loves the word tincture. So
I love that. Well, thank you so much. I hope they had a nice birthday. Also, we share a birthday with Florence Pugh, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Until this year, that's the first time I thought, that's a really cool person to have a birthday with. So that's nice, isn't
it? Is very cool. And let's see if we've had any comments off the old YouTubes. Another great podcast. This is from Man of Bronze. Says, as far as Joffrey spoiling House of Dragons, I did wonder if Rhaenyra faking her other half's death was a bit of foreshadowing for what she may have to do later. Let's not forget that almost everyone believes the Stark boys to be dead, and that's not the case.
That's a really good point. And I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I'd love to see them subvert the sort of folklore around what happens.
Yes, you did, saying that actually, if listeners that didn't listen, we were talking about, there was a spoiler last week about Rhaenyra's death in House of the Dragon, which I think is probably season 2 or season 3, I think is what is planned for. And Chris mentioned that actually the only records that we've got, the Dance of the Dragons, is all POV of kings.
People that won.
So, yeah. You know, we don't get to see the other side. So there is a possibility that, you know, the writers that could choose to mix it up.
I really hope they do that, you know. I really hope they do that. I think it would be such a, not a fuck you, but like, the Game of Thrones had to stick to the script.
Yeah.
And House of the Dragon kind of should, but maybe doesn't have to. It's a historical, it's like a historical record, so they can play with it. And I think it would be really cool. From what we know of Aegon II, who we saw not loads in House of the Dragon, but certainly in the back half.
Yeah.
There's so much imagery, so much PR, so much like, okay, optics, optics, optics. Of course he's going to say that he fed his aunt to his dragon. What if that's not what happened? I think that is so, like, exciting to sort of think about.
Yeah. The Claire M75 got in touch saying, yes, the book Brienne writes is the book for all members of the King's Guard. Gilly is there, because I think you were questioning the point of Gilly. Gilly is there, so Sam wants to protect her and the baby, and he learns that Dragonglass kills the White Walkers. She also then rather innocently said, Podrick has the voice of an angel. Maybe he sang to them instead, referring to him as wondering what his moves were.
Here we are thinking he's pulling off a like hot Richard or some
bowling
kind of
ball manoeuvre. Yeah.
And actually, it's maybe he's just saying, look, how was your day? How are you?
Yeah, and how are you doing? Like, oh, you talk to me. They're like, oh my God. No,
that sounds really hard.
Claire M's come up with loads of comments. Has also said that Sophie Ellis Bextor was in The Long Night.
What?
Did you know this?
No. White Walker.
I've no idea where she is in it, but she's in the behind-the-scenes footage. Okay. There's a few NFL players and stuff. I think by the time it got to there, there were, I mean, you know, Ed Sheeran, the rumour, which is completely unsubstantiated, is that Maisie Williams had a bit of a crush on Ed Sheeran and pretty much manipulated his cameo in that last episode.
I'm prone to overreactions, but Ed Sheeran on the season 7 premiere of Game of Thrones is one of the worst moments in television that I've ever seen. I hate it with every fibre of my being.
Inexcusable.
That said, if anyone knows the whereabouts of Sophie Ellis-Bextor,
yes,
please
maybe
let us know.
Tweet
use the hashtag.
Yeah,
just use the hashtag. Where's Sophie?
Do that hashtag. Where's Sophie?
It does sound like she's like literally been abducted, but or hashtag Baxter Watch.
Baxter Watch. Murder on the...
Murder on the Night Court.
Murder if on the Night Court.
We should do this. We should try and find her before we get to season 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. She might be the only cast member we get on for this rewatch.
My friend Kat is her day-to-day manager.
Well, come on then.
I'll put a word in. I'll put a message in.
Do it. We'll sandwich it with some songs by The Feeling or something. Whatever it takes.
We'll get her to send a voice note, just explaining
it. Great. Just, yeah, explain yourself. I love that. Here we go.
Okay, that's my
The investigation starts right here.
I can't wait.
Listen, right, we're going to go. We've got a bonus episode. OA episode 5 is going to be, definitely, I've already edited it. It's all good to go. That's going out tomorrow, which will be Tuesday, the 24th of Jan. And later on this week, maybe Thursday, we will put out our Last Cast special, where Chris and I discuss The Last of Us. And it will also include the interview that I did with Craig Mazin. Chris wasn't in the interview because he went out for dinner. But
look, I had dinner plans. The guy's got to eat.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Get in touch, dragoncast@daftdoris.com or on Twitter @dragoncast_pod. And we will see you next week for the first of season 4 rewatches and a continuation of the OA. Until then, Dracarys, Chris.
Dracarys.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter @dragoncast_pod or email dragoncast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for Dragoncast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. Dragoncast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Dracarys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.